your sometimes cynical and negative world, 98PXY dares to feel good.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
This is Moose and Breezy's Vibe Check.
Yeah.
PXY mornings on the number one hit music station, 98PXY.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Okay, time to get a checkup from the neck up. It's Moose, it's Breezy, and we're just
checking in
on those good vibes. 585-252-9800. We got to check in with our friends this morning, Breeze.
Yes, we
do. Everyone's weekend was hopefully good.
How are we doing? Let's see. We have our girl Heather weighing in. Heather says, good morning. Vibes are okay today. The weekend being over is kind of a bummer, but we're pushing through.
It always goes by so quick.
I woke up Saturday morning, dazed and confused. I was like, what?
Yeah, me too.
I was like, is it the weekend? Why? And then I realized it was the weekend. I was like, let's go.
Well, what time did you wake up?
5 something. I mean, I can't really sleep in on the weekends, which sucks, but it's all right. This person says, hi, Moose and Breezy. Ashley here, officially a twin mama. Haven't texted in a while, but hope you both are well.
What's up, Ash?
A twin mama. Cute. All right. And little light this morning just because people are getting back into the swing of things. But we have our girl Jenna texting in too. Jenna says, good morning. Vibes are good today because only one more week until I go on vacation.
Same.
I can't wait. Going to Rhode Island.
What's there?
I don't know. Nautical vibes.
Yeah.
Going to be on the coast.
I know.
Love it.
I know, and then school starts next week,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
On the third, I believe.
Second or third. Yeah, it depends on the school. But
yeah. That's it, guys. Enjoy the last week. I know there's a lot of parents that are very excited for this, and some are very sad to see their kids go back to school. But we all knew it was coming, so thank you guys for weighing in this morning, checking in, coming up for the big story of the day. So finally, there has been a person who has been arrested and accused of attacking that 75-year-old man in the parking lot of a store on Culver Road. That was back on August 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And the victim's daughter says she's not happy with what's been happening around this entire situation, especially with court over the weekend. But we'll tell you what she had to say and how this guy is doing and holding up at the age of 75 after he, you know, was absolutely just tumbled to the ground by this 34-year-old woman who's now facing those charges. We'll check in and touch base on that coming up next. The big story of the day. It's PXY.
Join Moose and Breezy anytime. Anytime.
Call or text 585-252-9800.
The number one hit music station.
98PXY.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. What's up, guys? Welcome back. A 34-year-old woman is now officially facing charges after being accused of attacking that 75-year-old man in the parking lot of a store on Culver Road. That was back on August 17th. Krista Spampinato says her father, James, was shoved to the ground, leading to a broken hip, a fractured neck, and then needing surgery. And according to Rochester police, Tony Palermo was taken into custody over the weekend and brought to the Monroe County Jail. She is charged with assault in the second degree. By the way, her photo on Facebook has been shared hundreds of times. Even when she tried to hide her account and make it private, people put her on blast the best they could. And then on Saturday morning, Palermo was arraigned, entered a not guilty plea, and then was released.
There's literally video of her doing it, but okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't look...
She's like, not guilty. They're like, that's not you pushing that man to the ground.
Got in the car and then left. And yeah, it doesn't look like the poor guy was shoved hard, but when you're 75 years old and you take a spill like that, first thing you break is your hip.
I wish there was audio. I'm so curious what the problem was. Like, the video is very unclear as to what the issue was that would lead to assault in that degree.
And all we can see is him pulling into this parking lot, this market, wherever he was, convenience store, and he honked his horn at a mom and her two kids to make them aware that he's pulling in. And then she got out of her car, had words with him, pushed him to the ground.
Yeah.
And he's basically screaming in agony on the pavement, even asking for her to help him. She got in her car and peaced out.
She's like, yeah.
And she did this in front of that woman's two kids, too. They all sat back and watched. But James Spampanata's daughter, Krista, said, "I'm disgusted. I'm angry. I'm upset. Because I feel like my father isn't being protected at all. Injuries were not mentioned. They said he sustained injuries, but he had a broken hip, a broken neck. And I want the community to understand and know this, you know, severity of the situation." And this woman, Tony Palermo, gets to walk away and go home. My father's still in the hospital. You know, I'm still not sure, though, why someone accused of causing such serious injuries to someone else should be released before trial. Like,
that's
she was.
That's just the bail reform.
Fingers crossed this guy and his family receive justice, though.
Yeah.
Coming up on the show, making yourself at home at someone else's home.
Is it rude or is it just convenient for the other person so they don't have to do everything for you? I honestly think it's rude if you don't make yourself at home because then you're just expecting the owner of the home to wait on you hand and foot. I don't think so. We'll talk about it coming up next on PXY.
When does it get very uncomfortable when you start making yourself at home at someone else's home? It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. So yesterday you just, well, whenever this was, over the weekend?
Yeah, yesterday I had three parties to go to.
Right.
A bachelor, what's it called? Bridal shower, birthday party, and then something for work. And I was busy, 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 go, 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 go. And by the time we got to the birthday party, I was parched. I was like, I need water. I've been going. It's too much. And this birthday party, I had never been to this person's house before. Their house was so cute. I was like, no, I love it here. I'm moving in. And I was looking for water. And the host of the party was like, I think we ran out of bottles. Like, whatever. I was like, okay, no worries. So I just went into their kitchen and got myself a glass of water. Never been into their house before. Never knew any, like, didn't know where anything was. And I come back out with my water. And my girlfriend Patrice is like, have you been here before? Like, what? How do you know your way around? I'm like, I don't. I just figured it out. Why would I ask the host whose birthday it is to go get me water? I can just figure it out myself.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Is that rude to just be like pondering around someone's house and cabinets and kitchen?
Some would find that to be rude, sure.
But I feel like it's even more rude to halt this person's celebration and be like, get me water. It's their birthday. It's their party. They're busy.
How do you know when it's okay to help yourself to things in someone else's home? Because I've gotten in trouble for this in the past, but I used to be the guy that would just casually open up everyone's refrigerator. And, you know, I've come to a point in my life where I realize now that that's kind of rude.
Yeah.
You just don't open another person.
Are you looking for something or you just were curious?
Browsing. Just
yeah,
browsing.
That's
just
a little
browsing.
Different.
But how is it different
He's like,
than
dirty?
How is Yeah, I am judging. How is it different than opening someone else's medicine cabinet? Because I know you do that in every house you've ever been in.
No, I don't. You do that.
That
I don't
is, that's,
care.
Well, that's I true. I do that too.
I can't read their pill bottles. I have no idea what any of it means. And I don't care enough to Google it. But so I come out with my glass, cutest little cup. And my girlfriend's like, what? And I'm like, if you really think about it, this is what is supposed to be done. And I feel like if you are going to have a party, you should be ready to open yourself up for people going in and out of your house.
Right, well, you
not
know,
that the host had any issue with it at all. They actually were like, great, pop off. Like, I don't have to do it.
It depends how cool the person is. It really
Correct.
Does. What is making yourself at home really mean today? Where's the line between comfortable and disrespectful? I have family members that will have 100 people over their house for an outdoor party because they don't want a single person stepping inside. It's like, where do we use the bathroom? we rented a porta potty. It's on the side of the house. I'm like, okay.
That's insane.
So everyone's just pooping on the side of the house. Great, got it.
And when they say rented a porta potty, they put a bucket out there. It's not high class at all. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like there is a line, but I feel like if you're being more helpful than harmful, that's where the line is.
What does that mean?
Like, if you're being more helpful to yourself and to take a burden off of the host, like, for example, me getting my own water, that's helpful to the person. Hurtful would be me browsing around their medicine cabinets and kicking my feet up on their couch with my shoes on and being like, I love it here. I'm going to stay. It's all within reason.
Yeah, well, there's boundaries. Yeah, this we know, especially if you're a guest in someone's home. I've gone as far as to help myself to the bathroom. But the downstairs bathroom was being used in this one home, and I just met the homeowners. So I went upstairs and used the bathroom up there, but I had to go through their bedroom to use their bathroom. And I'm like, well, you know, you said make yourself at home. What does that mean?
Okay, yeah, maybe we have different definitions of making ourselves at home.
Well, yes, there's clearly a big difference.
Yours, you show up with a U-Haul. Me, I just get myself a glass of water.
There's clearly a difference between feeling welcomed and acting entitled.
He's like, guys, where should I put my stuff? He's like, that's not what we meant.
98 PXY.
Justin Bieber on PXY Mornings. I love that song, Daisies. What's up, guys? It's Moose and Breezy. Is it cruel to send my 14-year-old daughter looking uncool on her very first day of high school? Well, that's the message that came in over the weekend from Sherry from Webster. I'm reading this, and I had to read it twice because the first part of her message started off with, I know you guys don't have kids, and sometimes I wish I didn't either.
Oh, okay. Oh, sure.
Because I'm always broke. She goes, I'm kidding. I love my daughter. But I am constantly broke because of her, especially with the new school year approaching.
Mm-hmm.
Take a listen to the message that she sent us and share with us if some of you guys are going through the same thing. 585-252-9800. The phone lines are open. I am confident other parents are dealing with the same issue when it comes to their kids going back to school. Good morning, guys. My daughter is going into her freshman year of high school, and I swear she thinks she's walking into Paris Fashion Week instead of a public school. She's obsessed with makeup, designer clothes, and having the right shoes. And I told her I'm not spending hundreds or thousands of dollars just so she can impress a bunch of kids who won't even remember her outfit. Mm-hmm. Now she's telling me I'm setting her up to get bullied if I don't. And I'm exhausted and honestly worried she's going to care more about her appearance than her grades. Well, it sounds like she already
does. I mean, yeah, that's inevitable.
Am I the only parent who thinks this generation is way too obsessed with image? Thanks. Love you guys.
Thanks for joining us in the 21st century.
So is it a parent's job to protect their kid's social image in high school? Or is it their job to teach them that looks don't matter? Because right now,
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah, a little bit. I get it's her freshman year of high school. This is all very new to her. But really, I remember, and I know it was a little while back now, but everyone was wearing sweats, hoodies, crew necks. When do you get to that point? I think slowly she's going to start to get to the realization that people don't. She's going to care less and less.
I think this is like very much so a here and now thing. Like, first day of school, first impression, first day of a new school, obviously super important. And when you are that age, that 14-year-old girl, it is truly like the most important thing to you. And by you as a mom being like, it's not that important, like get over it, I think that's minimizing her feelings on the matter. Although it might not be important to you, I mean, you can put yourself in those shoes when you were younger, and I know it's hard since it was so far away, right? But it is important to take into account how she's feeling.
She's excited.
Does she have to go out and buy her, you know, Gucci sunglasses and Lululemon leggings? I don't think so, but
Well, according to her daughter, it's got to be top notch, Mom.
Get her a couple of things and move on with it. Or get her fake stuff. Whatever.
Sheen.
No one's going to know.
So get her some Sheen. Let me go over to Zoe that's weighing in. My daughter's going into 10th grade, you guys, and it's the same thing. She spends more on makeup than anything else, and I told her she can earn some of it by babysitting or doing chores, but it's not fun. It teaches her money has limits, though. She's a Webster Thomas girl, and the girls are always in competition with the girls that Schrader in Who's Prettier. We know it's Thomas, but I'm biased. Ha-ha.
Oh, my God.
I think it's just teaching your kids that looks aren't everything. Okay, yeah, they're not. Thanks, Zoe.
As she's like saying that her daughter's way prettier.
Yeah.
This person says, Plato's Closet is a great option. Very true. This person says, we started thrifting this summer and it helped a lot.
Yeah, Plato's option. It's a great option if you're purchasing something, not trying to sell it.
No. This person says, well, the same person that said they started thrifting said, we still spent close to $600 on clothes, but we got so many items, brand names and cool shoes.
I was like, hey, I have this $130 pair of Express jeans with the tag still on it. Oh, these are lovely. We can give you $14.
Save your heartbreak and go to Goodwill. I love Goodwill. They're my favorite. They're my people. I'm obsessed.
Tanya says high school's brutal. Kids care way more than we did. I didn't buy anything for back to school. Your daughter will survive. Let her learn that not everything comes handed to you. This we know. Hey, guys, I'm sorry. Did this girl's daughter say that she'll get bullied if she doesn't go back to school with the latest designer trends? Is that what she said? Don't make me laugh. She's going to go into the 9th grade. Some of these parents are so freaking soft. Kick rocks, Mom. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, when I was going back to school shopping, all of my notepads and folders and binders had to be designer, but I bought them all myself. I spent like $30 on a binder.
What do you mean by designer? Like Trapper Keeper? What do you mean?
No, like Vera Bradley.
What?
Like all my pencils were Vera Bradley.
Over the top.
All my notebooks, binders, all my office supplies, Vera Bradley. Stationery. Had to do it. Had no choice. My hands were tied.
All my pens have to be Cartier.
It was a very big moment for me.
Let me get to a couple more. The message we got is my daughter thinks high school is a fashion show. This came in from Sherry from Webster. And her daughter's going to be a freshman in high school. Has to go back to school with all the designer, you know, the shoes, the makeup. Otherwise, she's convincing her mom she's going to get bullied if she doesn't.
Correct.
Rob says, not a parent, but this just seems like common sense. Let your daughter purchase all of it if that's what she wants. She's 14, but sounds pretty entitled to me. Listen, at the end of the day, she is excited, and I get that. I think it's just a phase. It will pass.
This person says, have mom go shopping on Poshmark. Ugh, love Poshmark. I saved a ton of money on like new North Face winter jackets. Remind your daughter that the kids won't know the difference whether they're new or like new.
Yeah, when did the excitement wear off? Do you remember?
Well,
you stopped caring, and like not every day was a fashion show. You're like, let me put my hair up in a bun, throw a hoodie on, and I'm out the door.
Yeah, like after Christmas.
Well,
no, because I had to show off all my new Christmas gifts. I don't know. When it started getting cold, I'm like, I'm over it.
Right. And then I'll get to Holly.
That's me now.
Tell her kids that the kids don't care that much. She's making it a bigger deal than it is, but it's high school. At the same time, new experience for her. My advice. Let her walk in with what she's got and watch her learn that most people are way too self-absorbed to notice anyone else's outfit.
Like when people are like, I can't go to the gym. People are watching me. I'm like, nobody's watching you. They're all like trying not to die themselves. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that deep.
If you are going to people watch at the gym, you're probably going to want to go to Planet Fitness for that.
Or just look at yourself in the mirror. It's a nightmare. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Absolute nightmare.
Sherry, thanks for the message. And for Zoe, who thinks the Thomas girls are way prettier than Schrader. Thank you.
It's brutal.
We're going to take a quick break on PXY Mornings. Again, Moose and Breezy.
Friday, the news came in of that absolutely fatal crash that took place on the thruway. And this was a multiple patient recovery in multiple area hospitals all throughout. So as of yesterday on Sunday, the reports from area hospitals indicated that at least 16 people were hospitalized from that crash that took place on Friday, late afternoon, early evening. And there was a firefighter, Dave Olson, that shared his accounts of what exactly happened. Said a portion of the rescue that he took part in involved a woman who was trapped underneath the bus in the rear wheels. A lot of people were ejected from the bus.
Oh, it was brutal.
And the crash actually ended up killing 5 people and obviously left several others extremely injured. So this was a tour bus operated by M&Y Tour Company of Staten Island, and they were en route back to New York City from Niagara Falls, carrying about 54 people, and 52 of those people, so 52 of those people were passengers, and then there was 2 drivers, and they crashed just after noon going back on the thruway. Unclear as to how exactly they state that there was some type of control that was lost of the bus. But it caused, you know, a huge backup on the thruway. It was actually shut down for
8 hours,
quite some time. So, but there's more information coming out, obviously under investigations to figure out the circumstances that led up to the crash. But if you were stuck in traffic Friday, that's exactly why.
Yeah, you go through this story. There's so many unanswered questions on where the distractions were coming from, why this bus tipped over like that. But really, really sad, especially all the people that lost their lives.
Yeah.
Coming up on the show, we have to talk about what went down at the Red Wings game Saturday night.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
It was PXY night, but yeah, it was Batman night. And thank you to everyone who came out. But also, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
It was insane.
Where do we begin? Batman's rubber nipples were crazy, you guys.
Oh my gosh.
This guy was very, very interesting. We have to talk about the interaction we had with Batman, or the lack of.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up next on the show. Stay there.
98PXY is free.
And always will be.
Always will be.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. Can we please talk about Batman at the Red Wings game Saturday?
Yeah, we got to talk about it.
I've never seen anything quite like this in my life.
It was wild.
Where do we begin? We'll break it down for you. Saturday night, PXY night at the Red Wings game. It's Batman night. And we appreciate anyone who showed up. It was a fun game, even though they got spanked. But who cares? It was Batman night, which was pretty cool. The Red Wings had the 1960s Batman and Robin show up in their tights. Pretty similar to the costumes Breezy and I have worn in some of our social videos.
Ours were a little better.
But then you have another Batman who was more current, if you will. I wouldn't say Christian Bale Batman. I would say more like George Clooney Batman.
He identified as the Dark Knight.
He did, but the car was definitely not the Tumbler. It was just, you know, it was the Batmobile. But, you know, it had rubber nipples. How can we forget that? This guy had a legitimate Batmobile, and I will say it was impressive. So I'm talking with Dan Mason right before the game, the GM, and he says, he drove it from Canada to Rochester in full costume this morning, and then he checked in the Strathallen. Didn't break character once.
Right.
I said, he didn't change? He didn't take the mask off? No, he checked into the hotel as Batman. And he asked the front desk if they had enough security for him because, quote, you know, it's kind of a big deal. When does Batman need security?
I know, right? You are the security. What?
So apparently the Strath told him, you know, we've had some pretty big names stay with us in the past, including Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I think you'll be okay. And I'm like, I think the best part, which had me dying, was this guy had to cross the border and go through customs from Canada into the U.S. wearing that suit, driving that car. And it's not like this car had power windows.
Yeah, the window didn't roll down. You had to take off the whole front hatch. The whole top hatch had to come off.
To show his ID, he had to remove the roof.
And the mask. I'm sure he had to remove the mask.
Oh, yeah. That just doesn't look suspicious at all. I could just picture this guy removing the hatch and climbing out of his car.
Yeah.
Sir, what brings you into the States? Crime.
He's like, so you're, okay, well, that's all right.
Then it was time to throw out the first pitch. And Batman takes the mound, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be impressive, right? We're all expecting this guy to throw a missile.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, I mean, it was a pretty bad pitch. I've never seen anything like this. I'm not making it up.
It was anticlimactic.
It didn't even make it to the plate.
Yeah.
Not that we're pros.
I mean, mine was very good, but yeah. First of all, it was like cocked sideways. He threw a little side curveball moment.
It was a little side curveball.
To be fair, he was wearing a lot of equipment.
To be fair, the suit did look very restrictive.
Right.
However, you had thousands of kids watching, and
I was just going and looking back at our footage to put a reel together, and the amount of people that booed him was shocking.
I didn't hear anyone booing him at all.
Oh, I'll replay the video.
I loved it. So he gets out of his car. He parks the car at the stadium
The Batmobile.
Right in front of first plate. And he opens the hatch. He gets out. And everybody's kind of standing in his way. So he's waiting to jump off the car. And he's saying, move. Move.
And then he jumped. And then he like went back in the car. I was like, is he going to redo this? Because he didn't like the
first one.
Yeah.
So I never told Breezy this. I left the game when it was coming up towards what, like the eighth inning?
Yeah.
And as I'm walking out, there's Batman in the parking lot.
Smoking a cigarette.
Speaking with one of the cops who was outside. So I walk up to him and I say, great costume, man. You really crushed it tonight. And I said, what's all this stuff on your utility belt? Is this the button you press to call your mom to come and pick you up? This guy didn't say a word, let alone smile.
He goes, I wish you wouldn't talk to me.
He just looked at me, and that was enough for me to say, okay, that's I guess that's everything. Have a good night.
That's it.
Enjoy your drive back to Canada. Oh, I mean Gotham City.
Wow.
Gotham City.
It was wild, you guys. You can't fault the guy for not breaking character. I mean,
you can't. I mean, but here's my thing. The game was at 6:45. He checked in the Strath like earlier that morning, afternoon. Is he just laying in bed in the costume?
Could be. It looked like it was extremely uncomfortable.
I mean, how long did that take to put on?
How do you sit in a car? First of all, you guys, the car itself was like, it was smaller than a phone booth. It was not comfortable.
It's a one seater.
Yeah.
Nobody rides cockpit with Batman except Robin, but he got rid of him years ago.
Yeah. Screw that guy.
And then he drove. I'm like, okay, so the next day he's got to drive all the way back to Canada.
So then I looked at his Instagram and I was like, he's probably going to have like so many followers. Like, this is crazy. He has like 6,000. I'm like, all right, well.
Pretty good. I mean, I'm assuming he does this full time, right?
I would assume.
But the thing is he thinks he's Batman. This isn't an impersonator. This guy showed up and he's in his own world. And I'm like, well, you know, I guess it's better than being addicted to drugs.
Yeah. Reminds me of your uncle who thinks he's the guy from
Breaking Bad.
I think this poses a bigger question of like, how far is too far when it comes to fandom? Like when you start morphing into the person that you or thing or character that you idolize, that's when we kind of gotta pump the brakes.
Sure.
You know? Because then it's like,
but yeah, hey, good to him. Good on him for finding his passion.
Yeah, we're not going to yuck his yum.
No, we're not.
I don't know if he got paid to be there, but I mean.
Oh, how do you think he makes his living?
Pop off.
How do you think he's able? Well, they probably put him up at the Strath, right?
That I don't know. That I don't know. If he's making money off of, you know, these appearances, good on him.
How is he supposed to put money in the Batmobile? You know what I mean?
He's guys, like, I ran out of gas on the way here. Dan Mason's like, not our problem.
98 PXY. Want to clear the air? Need to get something off your chest? Go on, try it. You want to feel the heat as it comes out of your mouth. My mother-in-law's cooking is mediocre at best. If young adults want to start buying their own homes, maybe they should stop ordering avocado toast.
I, for the life of me, can't believe Odyssey Management gave these two clowns their own show.
There. I said it.
Now, doesn't that feel better?
BXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy present There I Said It on the number one hit music station, 98 BXY.
All right, let's clear the air this morning. 585-252-9800. If you have been holding something in all weekend, well, now's the time to get it off your chest. Let's go.
Yes.
Who's here first? We have Bella weighing in. It says, good morning, guys. I will never understand adults who still drink milk with dinner. You're not seven anymore. There, I said it. Yeah, it's a conversation we've had many times on the show.
Yeah, I think that Mythbusters proved that milk was bad for you. I think that was truly proven.
Not goat milk, though. A lot of benefits to drinking milk from a goat. I don't know what
Straight
they are.
From a goat.
Let's go over to Danielle. Hi, guys. My there I said it is, if your neighbor says, let me know if you ever need anything, but won't ever pick up your trash bins if they blow over, then they're 100% fake people. There I said it.
I
guess you're right. Yeah.
Going off the realm of that, mine for today is this. I feel like so incredibly embarrassed when someone asks me if I need help and I say no. And then 5 minutes later, I have to be like, actually, I do need help. It's very embarrassing. And honestly, it makes me severely uncomfortable. There, I said it.
Because we're
it
all
happened
very
to me over the weekend. That someone was like, do you need help setting up your tent? I was like, no, I'm good. And then I was like, nah, I actually really, really do need help.
You can't let the pride get in the way, Breeze. Can't
well, I didn't need the help at the moment, and I was just like, no, I don't. And then I was like, this is a two-man job for sure.
Oh, the pop-up tents can be very difficult sometimes.
Yes.
Who else is here? Kevin says, yo, call me crazy, but I'm convinced 90% of people at the gym, they're not working out. They just walk around pretending to adjust machines.
That's literally you, Moose. That's literally you. And then you hit the sauna for 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, best like, workout
like,
of my life.
I'm so sore from all the work I did.
Best workout of my life. Mine for today is I'm sick and tired of the gate lice at airports. These are people who camp out in front of the gate an hour before boarding. Just sit
you,
down
like,
somewhere
you
else.
Just coining that term is crazy.
What?
Gate lice?
That's what they are.
Never in my life have I heard that.
Oh, yeah. They're gate lice all day. I can't stand it. These are the same people.
I was like, I can't believe they're getting lice on an airplane. That's crazy.
These are the same people that stand up as soon as you hear the damn.
You're not going anywhere.
It's like, hey, guys, we're all in this together.
You're not going anywhere. Yeah, we're all in this together until you're 1 pound over on your bag and then, see ya. You owe me $50. Thank you so much.
When I was flying out of Buffalo during Christmas to go back home, this was after the holiday, I had to go back to LAX. My bag was 3 pounds, 4 pounds over. Okay, understandable. But they wanted $190, not an extra 50, almost $200 more.
Yeah, that's when you just start throwing stuff away.
I said, do you have a black garbage bag? They're like, yes. I said, give it to me. I threw boots in there, clothes, I don't know, whatever 3 pounds looked like. And I carried around a garbage bag through the airport over my shoulder.
They're like, sir, are you homeless? They're like, I'm sorry. The term is houseless. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Had to do a birthday dinner over the weekend for a friend turning 35. It was such a crap time. If you're inviting 15 people to dinner and you're splitting the check seven ways, and you're over 30, it's time to grow up. There I said it.
And what do you expect to be done? Do you expect people to, I don't know, pay for the whole thing and then do it later? Because that's just as annoying as well. Or do we just cancel birthday dinners altogether?
Sometimes I can understand why it would be an inconvenience. They're not always fun.
I'm going to cover it. I'm going to cover all of it. And then I'm going to Venmo request you 3 years from now. And all then right. I'm going to keep reminding you until you pay it.
We're not rounding up either. I want exact change.
Yes.
Also, Rachel says, who's this? If you're over 30 and still taking shots of Fireball, please stay out of my DMs for the love of God.
They're really coming for the 30-year-olds. Wowzers.
Oh, wow. Rachel sounds like she's super fun at parties, you guys. Johnny C. says, sharing a toothbrush with your partner is disgusting. I don't care how in love you are. There, I said it. You and Patrice have never shared a toothbrush, have you?
Not to her knowledge.
Breeze, it's so, that's disturbing.
I don't know. Honestly.
Patrice, are you hearing this? You need to check your brush.
She's probably not listening today. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Well, then I'll text her. Let's go over to Bob. Can people stop hitting reply all on company emails just to respond with thanks? Please stop it. I mean it. There, I said it. Happy Monday. All right, Bob.
I haven't responded to one email in the 8 years I've worked here.
It is a little annoying when someone hits reply all and then just says, thanks. Was that necessary?
Yeah, we don't need that. We don't. This person said, I think that we went too hard on Karens. There, I said it.
Yeah, we blasted Karens for what, 3-4 years?
Yeah. And also,
what was the male version of Karen? I think it was like Tanner or Brad.
Brad.
I think it was Brad.
Braxton.
Yeah, you're being a total Brad. And then we'll go over to Dwayne that says, it's wild how we ask teachers to do everything, raise our kids, protect them, teach them, and get paid. And then they get paid garbage. And then parents complain about supply list. Also, no, I'm not a teacher, but I did marry one. There, I said it.
Mm-hmm. He's like, and now I'm financially supporting them. So where's the lie?
Come on. You know,
my whole thing was like when teachers were married, like two teachers in the same school, which was actually a lot in my school, they had these like beautiful houses. I'm like,
really?
Guys, pop off. What's happening here?
Well, they're teaching by day, and then they were like drug mules by night. You know what I mean?
Perfect.
Yes. Breaking Bad, that show taught me a lot about what it's like to be a high school teacher.
Listen, my high school was scandalous, but I don't know if it was that scandalous.
Oh, my God. All the teachers were sleeping with all the students.
I know.
These
things do happen.
Wake up to PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy.
When you tell your smart device to play 98
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy. So a 34-year-old woman is finally facing charges after being accused of attacking that 75-year-old man in the parking lot of a store right on Culver Road. This was back on August 17th. A lot of us have seen the video. Krista Spampinato says her father, James, was shoved to the ground. And yeah, it didn't look like a huge shove, but when you're 75, that was enough to break his hip, fracture his neck, and then need surgery.
Yeah.
The poor guy was just pleading for someone to help him. Even the woman that pushed him over. He's like, please help me.
Yeah.
She got her.
Can't do it.
Deuces. Peaced out. According to Rochester police, Tony Palermo, 34, was taken into custody Friday night and brought to the Monroe County Jail. She's charged with assault in the second degree. Now, her photo on Facebook, I did see it. It had been shared hundreds of times. And that's when she tried to hide her account, make it private. But people put her on blast.
Yeah, it was too late.
It was way too late. And then on Saturday morning, Palermo was arraigned, entered a not guilty plea. And then she was released, and she's scheduled to appear in court again sometime in September. But James Spampinato's daughter, Krista, said, you know, I'm disgusted by the whole situation. I'm angry. I'm upset because I feel like my father is not being protected.
Right.
Injuries were not mentioned. They said he sustained injuries. But as we know, he had a broken hip, a broken fractured neck. He needed surgery. And she says, I want the community to understand and know that. And she, you know, this woman gets to walk away and go home. Her father's still in the hospital.
Right.
It's such a sad. By the way, she did this in front of two kids that were sitting there watching her. We don't know why.
Like,
why did she
do
it?
She wasn't the one involved. And you can clearly see that in the video, which is like insane.
She got out of her car and had words with this 75-year-old guy, James, and pushed him over. And then left. It was so odd.
Very strange.
But hopefully the family does find justice. Coming up on the show, when did it become normal for parents to attend their kids' birthday parties? Because back in the day, you got dropped off with a wrap present.
You mean their kids' friends' birthday parties?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and they were picked up. The kids were picked up when the cake was gone. Now it feels like a whole family reunion. Sean from Hilton is asking, when did this become a thing? And how can we not have it be a thing for our daughter's 10th?
It's very helicopter parent-esque.
It's a good one today. We'll talk about it and share the message Sean sent us coming up next.
98 PXY is free.
And always will be.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, Sean from Hilton is asking, when did this become a thing? Parents attending kids' birthday parties and then hanging out the entire time. How can we not have this be a thing for our daughter's 10th birthday? So you have parents that show up and they're like, you know, they bring their kid to a party.
I see this all the time.
I was like, you know, he makes a good point. How was it back in the day? He wrote us and he says, hi, good morning, guys. Name is Sean. And I know this is going to sound like a back in my day rant, but I became a step parent 4 years ago. So I'm still fairly new to modern parenting and learning how things are done nowadays. Obviously, things are a little different from how they were in the 80s, but this one aspect of modern parenting that I find extremely weird. No parent ever lurked around my birthday party when I was a kid, nor did mine when I went to my friends' birthdays. When did this start becoming normal? Parents didn't hang around, eat all the food, drink all the beer. But now it feels like every party we host is for the parents just as much as for the kids. Mm-hmm. My daughter is turning 10, and I think that's old enough for this to be a kids-only thing.
Yeah.
Is 10 years old not old enough that kids should be able to be dropped off for a party without the expectation for us to entertain the adults too? Because I will say we are not looking to do that. What is a polite way that we can let the parents know that this party is meant to be for the kids only? It's a great question, Sean.
Yeah, I don't know when this became a thing or why. I think that parents just have gotten softer and softer as time has gone on. But like my parents never, ever stayed with me for birthday parties. Soccer practice.
None of it.
They have stuff. They have things going on.
Right.
They have things to do.
There are sales at Kohl's.
It's helicopter parenting 101. And given the fact that I am at so many little girls' birthday parties because of the braids.
You see it.
I see it all the time. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, and it doesn't allow the kids to be kids. Because they're just kind of like, either they're really shy and they're like clinging to their mom and they're not socializing how they maybe would be if they weren't there, or the mom or the parent is parenting them while they're there. Like, Janine, don't do that. We're not going to do that here. It's like, let them make mistakes and learn. I don't.
How many listening have noticed this happening, you know, with kids in the whole birthday party thing? Anyone think this has anything to do with all the creepy, weird people who've ended up on the news today? Nobody trusts anyone anymore. 585-252-9800. If you have advice for our listener, Sean, this morning, or have noticed this being a trend today, Abby texted in first and says, the American loneliness epidemic is a big thing right now, and it certainly doesn't exclude parents, many of whom can't regularly afford babysitters and time off to meet friends or make new friends. So a birthday party can be an excuse to socialize with other parents who share something major in common.
That's actually, I never thought about that
I'm going to be honest here. That's not the first thing that crossed my mind.
I never thought about that at all. But from what I've witnessed, like these, I mean, again, it's few and far between of like, I'm not like actively like just watching parents. I'm doing a job. But like a lot of them are like kind of off in the corner on their own, just like trying to be a wallflower, but like also not. So they know that their kids are there, like, or the kids know that they're there, I should say. They're not like actively socializing, some of them.
No, they're not.
From what I've seen, at least.
Some parents are just as shy.
Right.
And here's the thing.
Also, don't you feel awkward and uncomfortable just like chilling in someone else's house? Like you weren't invited to the party.
Sean says you got to just put it right on the invite. Drop off party, pick up at 4. Parents will get the hint, because at 10, they don't need us hovering. You know, I get when my buddy and his wife threw a birthday party for their 1-year-old.
Okay.
It's an open bar. I told you about the whole thing.
The whole vibe.
Yeah, I get that. Sure. You're not dropping, you know, little kids off and leaving. At 10, though, that's an age where their parents don't need to be there. Chris says, yeah, 10 is old if you ask me. I still attend my kids' birthday parties, but she's 4. Makes sense. Gina says, guys, I'm so happy I'm not alone on this. This really is such an annoying trend, and I wish it was like how it was back in our day. I hate devoting my precious weekends to attending children's birthday parties.
Yeah.
I don't blame you, Gina. I couldn't. I don't even blame you.
It's like you're not. Use that time wisely to go do something for yourself. Go get a pedicure. Go run an errand. Go do whatever you can cram in those 2-3 hours of your kid. It's essentially free babysitting. Like, why wouldn't you take advantage of that? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Well, I know, like, okay, I will use my own, like, growing up and upbringing as an example. My parents, my mom specifically, if it was up to my dad, I'd be, like, literally anywhere and everywhere. But my mom was like, you are not, you can go to a birthday party, we'll drop you off. But if I don't know the parents or if I don't feel comfortable, you're not sleeping over there. So I remember I was either like kindergarten or first grade. There was a birthday party and it was a sleepover. And my mom was like, yeah, no sleepover, but you can go to the party. And they dropped me off and picked me up and it was all fine and well. So I get that aspect of it. But
I made friends with this kid at a birthday party when I had mine at Laser Quest back in the day. And I begged my mom for him to sleep over. She's like, no, I don't really know him. I'm uncomfortable with it. I'm like, I don't understand why. That dude now is doing 25 years to life in prison for murder, something like that. And I'm not making that up.
Wow.
You know, moms
you
just
really
have
know
this,
how to pick them.
Moms just know. You know what I mean? And let me go over to 2 more here. Amanda's got some advice that says, honestly, if parents still hang around at 10, it's more about them than the kids. But I would be firm but polite. Say this one's for the kids. Go relax. We'll take care of everything. Most parents will be happy to leave. I have an 11-year-old and nobody does this.
Yeah.
And Laura says, why do you want people to leave? My husband and I hosted our daughter's 10th birthday last year. We had a fully stocked open bar for all the parents. Trust me, when I say we need this just as much as the parents do or the kids do, we mean it. Yeah, well, I guess, you know, parents love to get hammered at sporting events. With travel soccer? Oh, my. Travel hockey?
How are we getting home? Yeah.
So you don't have to be mean about it, but you do have to set the boundary or people assume you're hosting them too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It needs to be clear.
Yeah. So good luck with that, Sean. I appreciate you weighing in the message this morning. We'll do another Parental Confidential coming up tomorrow morning on PXY.
And I've got random facts for you every hour, every afternoon that'll make you go, wait, what? Starting at 3 today on 98
PXY. PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy, 71 and sunny for the high today. So apparently Cracker Barrel decided to go full modern, but not in like a better biscuit type of way. No, they nuked their classic logo. So
everyone's up in arms, losing their minds.
Uncle Herschel leaning on a barrel. Gone.
See ya.
In its place, plain text in a golden hexagon, and just people are losing it because Cracker Barrel, just for that move alone, lost nearly $100 million in market value overnight. Shares dropped as much as 15%, all because they wanted to change up the logo to make it look more simple. Why would you do that?
Drama.
People were in an uproar, especially people who were losing money in the stock market, but Cracker Barrel is not something you modernize. That's the whole point of Cracker Barrel. I don't understand it. But should classic brands like Cracker Barrel stay nostalgic? 585-252-9800. On social media, you had just a lot of critics who accused the chain of woke branding erasing its heritage and even calling it a crime against humanity.
Oh my God, the drama. Spare me.
It seems very extreme, but people love their biscuits and gravy in rocking chairs.
It's not like they're changing the recipe. They changed the logo. Relax.
Well, they're now modernizing the inside of the restaurant. They have the new CEO to thank for that. And that's what's really making people upset. So the CEO comes in and starts updating the logo, but they're doing the decor of the restaurants as well. So there's new interior to make it seem more modern. There's brighter lighting, which people also hate. Also, say goodbye to all the old antique wall decor.
Wait, I don't mean to sound so like millennial right now, but what is Cracker Barrel, a restaurant?
It's like almost...
Or is it a shop?
Combined.
So it's both.
Yeah. I mean, that was the best part.
It's not like I'm like going there often to know, but
no, we used to have one there. I think it was in. Is it still there?
I think it is still there
in Henrietta
Airport. Yeah,
that was the best part. It's like walking in your grandpa's shed. It's just a bunch of farm tools.
There's rats running around. You're like, it's authentic.
It's just all on the wall. Nobody uses. So Cracker Barrel has an entire design department whose job is to source, catalog, and hang that stuff in every location so it looks authentically cluttered, if you will.
Yeah.
In each restaurant.
Organized chaos. Yeah.
Like TGI Fridays.
Right.
So each restaurant has about 1,000 individual antique items on the walls and ceilings, and no two locations are decorated exactly the same. It's kind of like an Applebee's.
They want to make it like an Olive Garden.
But it's like, yeah.
And kind of have everything in uniform, basically.
Simplify it.
Yeah.
I mean, Cracker Barrel has always been like Applebee's on steroids. But with
country version.
With actual history instead of, you know, knockoff movie posters, if you will. But when you think about it, don't you find it absurd that the heart of the Cracker Barrel isn't just the old logo of Uncle Herschel leaning up against a barrel of moonshine or whatever the hell that is? It's the Civil War antiques and the rusty saws. Now all of that is ruined thanks to Julie Fels-Masino, who makes over $6 million a year. She had to come in there and try to modernize something great. And everyone's like, now she killed it.
People don't like change.
People in the South want this woman in jail.
Oh, my God. See, I feel like this is a bigger conversation of like, people who live in the north of like the country and people live in the south of the country. Like personally, and maybe this is just me, like I don't care. You know what I mean? But
right, you don't even know what Cracker Barrel is, though.
People in the south are so dramatic. Like everything is so like blown out of proportion to the 10th degree. And honestly, everything has such a deeper meaning to them. And it's like, it's not that deep. Like move on.
Well, it is for some people who lost hundreds of thousands in the stock market. If you got stock in Cracker Barrel, I don't know. But this CEO knew she was playing with fire. I mean, remember all the companies that tried to change their logo and it backfired on them. 2009, Tropicana ditched the orange with the straw, which literally screamed orange juice, for a much sleek generic carton. And sales dropped by 20 to 30% in a month. And then
because guess what it means? It means that like the old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. No, like genuinely people are and always have judged a book by its cover, judged a logo by its business, and it changes the whole vibe. For example, Canadian National Bank just changed their logo. That's my bank.
Yeah.
I'm disgusted.
To what?
I don't even know. Like just to see? Just to see with an I don't even know what it
is. This is what everyone's doing is they're trying to simplify things that are already simple.
You can't fix what isn't broken.
You can't take Uncle Herschel leaning up against the barrel and throw it away. I mean, Herschel's been there forever. In 2010, the Gap swapped their iconic blue square. Everyone knows the Gap logo.
Mm-hmm.
They swapped that out for a design that just said Gap in black letters, and then it had a tiny little blue square at the top of the P. It was awful. And people hated it so much, they changed it back in a week.
Wow.
It was the shortest rebrand in history.
Interesting. I guess this just goes to show, don't fix what's not what isn't broken. You know what I mean?
In some cases, sure. Matt's texting in and says, good morning, guys. People don't go to Cracker Barrel for a sleek, modern vibe. They go because it looks like your grandma's attic threw up all over the walls. It was dumb on their part to mess with the logo. Guys, it looks like the Wells Fargo Bank logo to me. And I get trying to stay current, but Cracker Barrel's charm is that it's not current. That's why people like it.
Right. It's different.
You don't want it to be current. And when you go in and you see the pictures of the new interior, it almost looks like a cleaner version of Denny's. I'm like, what are they doing?
Are Denny's still a thing?
They're huge at 4 a.m.
Oh. Are shut down.
Well, probably because the menus weren't sticky enough.
What is this? Yeah, I think that people get very up in arms about logos and vibes and all of the things. So much so that they will stop supplying business to them.
Sure. I mean, what's one logo you would hate to see go away?
Our logo. Our logo's been the same forever. PXY.
Different colors. I mean, it was different in the 90s, but yeah. The kind of retro orange and black look.
Heritage, you know? Danger Texas. He's like, so we're going to change the logo. I've been meaning to send this email for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's actually what we're talking about in our Monday afternoon meeting.
Yeah.
Connect with PXY Mornings on our socials.
Facebook.
IG.
X.
98 PXY Rochester.
It's Moose and Breezy on 98 PXY.
Buying a new vehicle.
Vibrant color. Oratory skills. A deep exploration into drama, suspense, tragedy, and comedy. PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy present another award-worthy performance in Moosterpiece
Theater. I can't wait for you to watch this film tonight. I am excited for you and Patrice, too, your girlfriend. You guys got to watch this.
She's like, I'm not watching it. So.
I picked this movie because I thought it would be a great scene to act out, for one, and two, the fire, the passion, the intensity, the cheating.
Oh, not the cheating.
Oh, this wife did him dirty. This scene is us in our living room, and your character is sad and depressed.
Why are we always, first of all, together? Second of all, there's always a cheating scandal.
Not always.
Nine times out of ten.
And it's always coming from the woman. Isn't that sad, you guys?
I love how you're specifically picking these, but all right.
Well, I actually saw this movie come up on, I forget what platform it was, and I was like, this is a great film. We should do this for Moosterpiece Theater. So here's the situation that you're in, and I want you to use this as motivation.
Okay.
So it's raining out. They're in a dark-lidded house, and your character has been having an affair with a much younger man for quite some time, and my character found out about it and decided to handle the situation without letting her know. He handled it in a very dramatic way. We'll say that.
Okay.
All right. Any questions? You're a pro.
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Let's get these lights, camera, sound, action.
What did you do? Did you hurt him, huh? Edward, did you hurt him? Did you? Didn't you? Jesus, Edward, talk to me.
No.
Tell me what you did.
No, you tell me what you did. How you screwed him over and over and over. How you lied to me over and over and over again.
No, stop! You know, I can't deal with this stress, Edward. Think about my eczema. Again, not in the movie.
You've never seen the movie.
Not in the movie.
Oh, watch.
I can't handle another flare-up.
No, you don't talk to me now. I gave you everything. I gave you everything for this family. Everything. And what did you do? You threw it all away like nothing. And for what? He was a freaking kid. You didn't think I know that I wouldn't feel it? I knew it was. I knew it from the very first day because I know you, Connie. I know you and I hate you.
No, please. Don't say things that you don't mean.
I didn't want to kill him. I wanted to kill you.
Ed,
please, my eczema. Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Look at me. You threw it all away, Connie. Remember that.
I can't do this. Oh, my goodness. I'm getting a flare up. I can't do this anymore.
And cut.
Not you rewriting the whole script.
End scene. Cut.
The eczema awareness is crazy.
It happens. And now they have shots for it and different steroids you can take each morning.
That's not the point of the script right now.
Very intense moment between husband and wife when one partner catches another one cheating. I can't imagine what that must feel like.
People are texting in, Moose, pick a new scene. We've been listening to the cheating for the last three movies.
Wait until you hear what I have planned for next Monday.
It's Labor Day. I'm not going to be here, so.
Oh, God. We'll have to do a follow-up on Tuesday then. All right, any guesses coming in what that movie was? Oh, I just love the passionate scenes between man and woman. The fighting, the drama.
This person says, I don't know if you guys do short films, but I saw a short film called Eczema Energy a couple weeks back. Was it that one?
No, it's not Eczema Energy, but that is a good one, too. We love independent filmmakers.
We really do.
Who else is here? Let's go over to Lindsay that says, I've never heard of this. Bang Door? What? Who wrote Bang Door? What is that?
Bang Door.
I've never heard of that. Is that another independent film? This one, yes, it stars Richard Gere. And then another woman I'm not too familiar with her acting. That's why it doesn't matter.
Oh my God.
This is an erotic thriller from 2002 starring Richard Gere. And Breezy's going to go home tonight.
What's it called?
This one is called Unfaithful.
Okay.
If you thought last week's movie was fantastic, wait until you see this.
What was last week's? I can't remember.
Who was it starring last week? Come on, we did the film.
I don't remember. I can't remember anything.
You know, now that I think of it, I think it was kind of similar to this.
It was the same scene. Oh, it was An Indecent Favor.
No, Indecent Proposal.
Whatever.
Yes, another great film.
Same exact scene.
All right, Breezy, you're going to go home tonight. Watch this. Bring it in tomorrow for Breezy's big movie review. This one is a nail biter. I will say that. So be prepared to give it a very high score, okay?
Okay.
Welcome back to the show. So a new documentary about Hurricane Katrina came out on Netflix. And a lot of us, I think, were old enough to remember just the devastation that was caused back in the day. And Breezy brought this up, that she watched it for the first time and was like, you know, I don't know if you said you don't really even remember Hurricane Katrina, but just history.
I mean, I remember Hurricane Katrina. Like, I was so young, though, when it touched land and, you know, devastated all of these communities. It was 2005. I was in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And I think it's just wild to learn history as an adult that you were here on this earth for, but too young to understand. I mean, 9/11 being one of them, Hurricane Katrina being one of them, you know, the housing market crashing being one of them, the recession, all of the things that your job is to be a kid and to be, you know, happy-go-lucky, live life to the fullest and not have to worry about any of this stuff. But you were very much here and alive when your parents were stressed out about this stuff, or, you know, people down south were losing their entire homes and communities. And watching the documentary on Hurricane Katrina, it's wild to see, you know, exactly what happened and to know that that happened here in America. Like,
yeah.
When you watch that footage, it looks like a third world country.
It really does.
Genuinely does. And it's eye-opening and it's shocking because we learn about history in school and we learn about these events that seem so far away from us, right? Like, oh, that happened in the 1800s. Oh, that happened in the Civil War. Oh, you know, we're learning about all this stuff. But when you are like relearning things in a different lens as an adult, I just feel like it hits so much. It's so different.
I think so too. You know, and I look back, I mean,
it's like this happened when, like, not that long. I mean, 20 years ago, yes, is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But you're still here living on this earth. Like, I don't know. It's insane.
In 2005, does that even, when someone says 2005, like, oh, yeah, 15 years ago, that's what you hear. Doesn't seem like that long ago.
20.
Right. But even like Columbine, the school shooting, that happened in 1999. And it was the first school shooting that was really, that people really, really talked about. And I remember being young. I remember being in freshman year of high school, eighth grade, something like that. And then it just kept happening. And we grew up with, you know, school shooting drills in it. But when you look back of when that actually took place, it's like, wow, you forget about some of the history that took place right here. And
while
you
were, you know,
a part of it, part
while
of it.
You were
you
living
it.
your best life elsewhere because you were like either too young to understand or didn't have the capacity to understand or it wasn't your job to understand, right? Like me in fifth grade, I don't need to understand the nature of Hurricane Katrina, or it's not that I don't need to, it's I don't have the ability to. Like I'm 10 years old. I don't know that people home that their homes are gone and their communities are vanished and people have lost their lives. So many people have lost their lives
right
to this devastating storm. And I mean, obviously, if you go back and watch the documentary, there's a couple. There's one on Hulu that I was watching. There's one on Netflix as well. The city of New Orleans failed these people. Like, and it's just clear as day and you can see it. But I just thought, you know, oh, a hurricane came through. Like,
it was
devastating, but there was so much more to it.
The people there, everybody that lived there felt like the entire country gave up on them.
Yeah.
Because when you really stop and think about it, there are so many wild, uncomfortable or straight up insane moments, I think, in I guess you could say recent history that don't feel that long ago, but they're absolutely mind blowing when you learn about them as a kid.
Right.
Or you revisit them as an adult. It's like, wow, that happened?
Well, you're right, Moose. It's so different learning about it in school, in a textbook, and living history, right? Like these kids, you know, I don't know how often textbooks get rewritten, right? But like they will learn about COVID-19. They will learn about the pandemic. They will learn about Black Lives Matter. They will learn about all of this stuff. And it's like, you don't even know your living history until, you know, there a documentary comes out about it, if I'm being honest.
You will learn that people used to be able to smoke on an airplane and in a restaurant because, you know, they put up a dividing wall that was 5 feet tall and you can choose between smoking and non-smoking. I was like, I can't believe that used to be a thing.
Yeah.
But I lived through it.
Even restaurants, too. You know?
I mean, they're still doing that in Vegas, but that's always going to be around.
Just insane.
But when someone brings up, like, hey, the Berlin Wall that fell in 1989, that feels like ancient history.
You lost me there. But, like, it's interesting. And it's cool to go back and educate yourself in a different lens. And think to yourself, wow, I was very much so here and alive,
yeah,
you know, living my best life, playing double dutch on the playground when Hurricane Katrina was taking out an entire community, multiple communities, cities of people.
And then, you know, my niece and nephew at their age, who are like 9, 10, and 11, are going to really be learning about, you know, the effects of that September 11th have us on us now, you know?
Right.
And it's crazy, but they didn't live through that. And it's, I don't know, it's just, it's going to be really, it's one thing to read about it in a textbook.
Yeah.
And talk about it in class. And it's another thing to like live through it and then watch them make a documentary about it.
But it's also like not even just like, there's different levels, right? Like learning about it in a textbook, but living through it and not understanding it, you know, living through it at a young age and be like, oh, I mean, I was alive for 9/11, but I was in first grade. I don't know. And then living through it in like COVID, I was 25. So I have a better understanding of, you know, history and what is to come with it and how it's going to be perceived in the future and taught. It's just insane.
Yeah.
It's really insane. I am documentaries. Obviously, you and I both love watching documentaries. So it's cool that there are people out there that care enough about these events to, you know, put it out into the public in the form of art. So
yeah,
it's really cool.
I'm glad that you got a chance to sit down and actually watch that.
Yeah, it was eye opening for sure.
It's PXY Mornings. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's me, Julia, your at work bestie on 98 PXY. Each weekday, just after 2:30, I share my life hack of the day. I promise it'll make your life a little easier. The Julia Show on the number one hit music station, 98 PXY.